You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of
today,
Brevard.
On the Word of Truth Revealed.
He's got something he needs to accomplish. He's purpose driven. He's giving his time, his design, his effort, his pressure, and he could easily hew out another piece. But his hand is still on you. He could easily, like I take as a kid, could take a play putty and just throw it away. Because that's what kids do. They want it until they get it, and then they're done with it. God is not like a child.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Fashioned While Under Pressure. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6.
Why would God send me when I got all of these plans in my life on another track? Because he says he's concerned about people in this region, so he rescues me from my own desires and bring me into his divine will. Not just his permissive will, but his perfect will. Glory to God. His divine plan for my life, which does not match what I wanted to do in life. Why would he arrest me, but you can do whatever you want to do? You can go wherever you want to go. You don't want no restraints, but he takes some of us and arrests us to give you a word to stabilize you so the hemorrhaging can stop. You don't care about his will and how he maneuvers in the lives of other people? Sometimes he'll take one to chase a thousand. Thank you, Lord. Why does God put us on a wheel? How do you tell me you're moving me forward, but I'm spinning? Sometimes I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I'm running, but I'm on a treadmill. I ain't going nowhere. Why does God bear down on us with pressure sometimes? Sometimes it seems like you have no ability to bear it. Thank you, Jesus. Why does he keep on working in us, molding us, shaping us? Why would he not just throw the clay away? Notice in our text, Jeremiah 18, he looked at the clay and said it's marred, and he made a decision not to throw it away, but just to make it over. Now me, I'm a perfectionist. So before we had computers and Word, if I was writing a document or typing it and I made a mistake, I would just pull it out of the typewriter and throw it away. Start over. Instead of saying, you know what, there's white out. Then the computers came in and I was able to say, whoa, the Word processors first. Then when the computers came in and Word showed up, you know, you can kind of just erase your mistakes. And Word will show you where you made a mistake. Made it real good for preachers. Real good. I don't know why anybody would want to study the Word now. Because it's easy to study. When I first started ministering, I had 9 books open at one time. 9 books looking, oh, whoa. Just fascinated with an insatiable appetite to get in the Word. And that's what I pray. The Holy Ghost invade you and give you an insatiable appetite that you would get in the Word. Turn off game. Ooh, the heat and the worry, the heat and the Indiana Pacers. The Nuggets, the Golden Nuggets. See, I don't even remember. I don't even know. I used to be into this stuff, man. I pray God give you an insatiable appetite where you'll study. Get something in you instead of being entertained. Reels are entertainment. And the word entertainment means you're enthralled so much that you get stuck. You don't grow when you see entertainment. There's nothing cognitive that's going on in your mind when you're going from real to real. It's when you study, when you apply certain techniques to study, glory to God, that you start growing intellectually. That's why you can have people, you can tell if they really graduated from college and got their degree, because their language will change. If you're still saying I ain't got no nothing and you talking about you got a doctorate degree, I have a problem with you. Triple negatives. I ain't got no nothing. Never mind. Man, that's Southern talk, man. That's Southern. I ain't got no nothing. I ain't got no nothing. My mama said, I'm going to Miami. She said, Miami. I said, it's Miami. She said, I said, it's Miami. Okay. Okay, mom. Let's look at Genesis 50 and verse 20. Whew, he's fashioning somebody. And Joseph looked at his brothers and said these words, you intended to harm me, but God, look at the word, say intended. God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, to save the saving of many lives. Joseph didn't say, you meant it for evil and God turned it around for my good. He said, you meant it for evil, you intended to harm me, and God intended it. In other words, his plan was involved in that. The path that Joseph took from the pit to the pot to the prison and then to the throne was all a part of God's plan to develop him to be the vessel of glory that God wanted him to be. Which means if he bypassed one of those stages, he would have missed a portion of his polishing. He wouldn't have been attractive at that level as Zaphnath-Paneah. But he had to go through all of those stages to be made into the man that God wanted him to be. And God, my friends, wants you to go through every stage, because he's going to use it to create something in you that will transcend what you're going through. And you will begin to see that the better or the latter is greater than what you came out of. You mean to tell me God intended for you to go through what you went through? Yes. Not for you to quit at this stage. But all of it is for the next level. For him to look at you as a vessel and say, I'll use that vessel now. Glory to God. Take you off the shelf and begin to apply you to circumstance. And I'll pour you, put it, fill you up, and then pour you into another vessel. Even larger or smaller vessels that will fill them up, glory to God, because you have the capacity to carry something. You mean to tell me he meant it so I can carry something? He meant it. He developed me, took me through those things so I can carry something valuable? Absolutely. It's always shifting your capacity. Now this passage, when it comes alive in you, because we like to preach it, don't make sense. You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for my good. God don't turn nothing around for your good. He meant it too. He ain't trying to kill you now, but he meant it. Notice when the enemy rose up in the brothers of Joseph, they wanted to kill him. But Reuben said, don't kill the lad. Judah said, don't kill him. Don't spill his blood. God always protects life. Glory to God. But he intended for the boy to go into the pit. He intended for him to wear the coat of many colors. But he didn't see red in that coat. It wasn't just black and purple and gold. There was some red in there. Red represents suffering. And he didn't even realize that his life would pattern after Jesus. As a type of Christ that will go into hell. And on the third day come out of the pit. With his train filled with souls. Notice when Joseph ascended, he didn't just ascend out of the pit, but he also went down into the dungeons. But when he ascended, he was able to lead captivity captive. Glory to God. In his position and his authority, he affected the entire region. And to get there without any federal training, without any institution of learning, he had to go through the school of hard knocks. Glory to God. Just like you. So stop complaining about your school and your schoolwork. Just endure it and God will bless you. All eyes on the potter. A lot of times we want to put our eyes on the clay, but I need you to look over the shoulder of the potter. He's in charge. Go back with Jeremiah to the potter's house. You won't discover the purpose for your life until you get to know the potter. You won't know or discover the purpose of your life until you stop focusing on the pain of the fashioning and get the mind of the potter. You can learn something more important than spin, than the pressure. You can understand that the potter has a purpose for you. Watch him. Keep your eyes on the potter, not on the spin. Close your eyes to the spin and to what happened. God is shifting you now from the spin in your life, or focusing on the spins and how things don't make sense and how you can't stand it any longer and you don't like people and you don't trust anybody and you got this attitude with yourself. Eventually the spin will stop. You got to focus on the intent of the potter that is actually working the spin and applying the pressure, because he has a purpose for all of it. Thank you, Lord. For a moment, I want you to tap into that. Write it down. God don't play with clay. You know, we used to have these, what do they call it? Silly putty? Putty, yeah. What was another term? Play-Doh? Yeah, that's right. As kids, you could take it and form it, right? God don't play with clay like we do. God has a purpose. He's trying to create a vessel, not to pass time. He has a design and an intent when he first put you on that table to spin you. God don't play. Oh my God. He got work to do with you. He's got something he needs to accomplish. He's purpose driven. He's giving his time, his design, his effort, his pressure, and he could easily hew out another piece. But his hand is still on you. He could easily, like I take as a kid, could take a play putty and just throw it away, because that's what kids do. They want it until they get it and then they're done with it. God is not like a child. Thank you, Lord. He's given his time, he's given his talent, his expertise, his energy in developing you. So peek over his shoulder. I know you're looking at the pot, or you feel like you are the one, but I want you to extract yourself from the moment. Now walk up behind the potter and peek over his shoulder from his level. I've never done that when thinking about the potter and clay. I only thought about my pressure, what I'm going through, and my spin. But what is he trying to do with me? Oh my God. Peek over his shoulder. maybe astonished with how he does what he does. How he can see something out of marred clay, a mud pile. For the clay pot, it hurts when he takes his hand and scoops out a whole lot from the center portion. From the top down, take his hand and just take it out. But all he's doing is creating a greater capacity. Some of your greatest moments of setback was a time where God was giving you capacity to do what he has for you to do now. For those of us that have lost loved ones along the way, I know the spin is difficult. God's grace is sufficient for you now. Let him do the work. Peek over his shoulder. Glory to God. You must be convinced that he knows exactly what he's doing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Last passage, I want to go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 14. Actually, Galatians. I want to go to Psalm 17 and 15, and then Galatians 1 and 14. I like this. The psalmist says, I shall be satisfied when I awake in your presence or in your likeness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I want you to rest while in this spin. A type of sleep, not a stupor now, but rest. Close your eyes, because it's easier to go through the spin when you stop trying to fix your eyes on a point. Or comparing yourself to someone else. I should be further ahead in my life and things of that nature. That's not what you need to do while you're in the spin. You have to understand he's making you. My path is like no one else's. I don't know if a person could handle what I deal with. He made it for me. I'm going to tell you about Joseph now. Boy was thrown in the pit. And he didn't just go down there and get quiet. Some people can go to prison and you'll never hear from them. Others scream because they're claustrophobic. They don't know it until the bars close. Ting! And once they're in there, in that small little way, whoa. 5 years? Five? It starts setting in. Yesterday, a woman brought two huge young men to me. One was 16. He's at least 6'2". I would say 6'2". 6'1". I mean, huge. I mean, I grabbed him by the arm. He's going to play, I guess, football. His younger brother is 12. She said, pray for him, bitch. I said, what? They're getting in trouble. I said, what do you mean they're getting in trouble? They're lawless. They're getting in trouble. Where's your daddy's son? He's in prison. Whoa. Their mother took them to a park and left them. I'm tired. Make it on your own. And even now, man, in the news, they found four kids. Their plane crashed in the Amazon somewhere. And they were out there for almost 40 days with jaguars and all this other stuff. And they survived with a 9-month-old baby. And God allowed things like that to happen so you would know, no matter what your circumstance is, God can cause you to win. I know you think your stuff is dangerous and it's done, but God can call. If those kids can make it, anacondas and stuff like that. What did they drink? What did the baby drink? 9 months old, still alive. They're all in the hospital right now, but it looks like they're going to make it. You can't tell me God can't cause you to make it. The plane went down, crashed. They still made it. They survived for 40 days and 40 nights in a jungle. Not a concrete jungle, the real jungle. All kind of diseases and pestilence and all of that. And they said, what did they eat? Who taught them? Who guided them? Glory. I was able to tell those boys, you're going to allow this small town to kill you? Have you ever been to New York? No. Have you ever been to Miami? No. You never been to Dallas? No. You never been to Chicago? No. What about Atlanta? No, sir. Right there in the next town is a prison, man. You don't want to go there, right? Your father is there, but we're going to believe God to bring him out. You want to go and take his place? You need to focus. And I'm saying to you all, while you're spinning in your circumstance, focus. Close your eyes and take a little sabbatical. Let God get you through it. And you come out better on the other side. Last passage, Galatians 1:14. Look at the man called Paul. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased. I stop right there. When he was pleased, we focus on how we're experiencing pressure while on the potter's wheel. But you ever got the mind of the potter? Is he pleased with what he's making? He called you from your birth to be right here, right now. This is your moment and your time. You don't run. If you run from this, you'll be half made. If you come off of the potter's wheel now, you will be half developed. There will be some type of warped semblance of what God wanted to do. Your worship will be off. Your mindset will be off. Your friendships will be off. Your relationships will be off. Leaning to the right or to the left versus being vertical. Just because you couldn't handle what he's putting you through. Get your mind off of what you're going through and peek over the shoulder of the potter and see it from his perspective. Is he pleased? Glory to God. If you can say yes, you stay right there. Yield to his plan, trust his spin, and remain flexible when he applies pressure. I said again, yield to his plan, trust his spin, and remain flexible when he applies pressure. Don't resist the pressure of the Lord. Go with it. Remember, his will may not be yours. Sometimes they will synchronize, but there are times when his will not be yours, even if you feel like it is. And that's the real challenge of Christendom today. Believers don't surrender their will to God. And I believe God wants to correct that. And if you will agree with me in prayer, I'm going to pray that God help us with that. To really allow his will to become our own. How many of you would agree with me, Bishop? I need prayer right there. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being honest. I need prayer there too. Some paths that God has me on, I don't want to go down those paths. Who wants to be forsaken? Who wants to be forgotten? Who wants to pour and pour and pour and to be forgotten? I wouldn't wish that on you. It's the path a lot of times that he has me on. And for those of you that know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean. But that's the path we're on. I can't jump off the wheel because I don't like the path. I have to surrender my will in exchange for His.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you are blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Fashioned While Under Pressure, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2306-1108. That's reference number 2306-1108.
Bishop and Pastor Sabrina will celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary next Sunday, July 2nd. All cards and acts of kindness are welcome. Show them your love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Revealed mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Revealed 2, and checks should be payable to Truth Revealed and indicate wedding anniversary on the memo line. Registration for Vacation Bible School 2023 Ready, Set, Move is open. Children will move to follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere with this engaging hands-on experience scheduled for Monday, July 17th through Friday, July 21st. Scan the QR code, log on to our website, truthrevealed.org, or check out the mobile app to register your children ages 2 through 6th grade. Awaken Women, save the date, and join Pastor Sabrina for Resilient, a Faith That Stands, the 2023 annual Awaken Women's Conference, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, September 22nd and 23rd. Conference registration will open in mid-July. For more information, email awaken@truthrevealed.org.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.